Did you want to turn the fax machine off?
All right, we are back here. We are live on Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, with our special show, Chicago Music Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com. Also, the Director of Programming at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, 201 South Ashland Avenue, which is going to be opening up this summer. Very excited about that. Happy to have them helping present this show. To talk about that at some point, but on the show today we've got Anne Burnell and Mark Burnell. Anne is of course the president of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, and she just went through an entire ordeal having to cancel an entire week of shows, which we're going to talk about, and hopefully we can reschedule some things down the road. We may even be utilizing some things at different venues, but we probably won't talk about that today. Also on the show, if we can get him on the Skype line, will be Frank Russell, the great bassist. He just finished up an entire run at the Steppenwolf Theater with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. He's got a couple other projects coming up. But really what this show is supposed to do is just kind of catch up with the musicians in Chicago as far as what's going on during this horrible time, this horrible experience here, quarantine time. Obviously, I'd like to start the show. This is our second episode of this show, but I've been doing Talking Jazz about 150 episodes where people actually come down. They come to wherever I'm at, whether it's a hot dog stand, whether it's at a venue, whether it's a festival, and we talk a little bit and catch up. Well, this show specifically, we are talking about what all the musicians are doing. So I thought I would try to do a live show every day, build some traction, get some things going on, start a conversation, keep the community connected throughout Chicago. And, you know, if you have a comment, if you have any questions as we have the different guests on, feel free to leave a comment. I'm going to be reading those and bringing them in. At some point, we might actually have a call-in segment because I can take phone calls, but I'm going to preface this whole thing as I have been. This is a live show that I am producing. I'm by myself. I've got my computer right here. So I'm running the board. I'm doing everything. So there's going to be really big mess ups, I'm sure. And we're going to have technical difficulties, which we've already had this morning. That's why I'm a little late coming on at 10:30. But hey, who cares? Now, before we bring Ann and Mark on, I want to make sure that I mention what we mentioned yesterday. There's a lot of GoFundMe pages going on, not just for musicians, but also the staffs at these different venues that are closed down right now. You know, a lot of people don't realize the musicians are completely out of work. Chicago Jazz Magazine has no festivals to promote, no venues to promote, no performances to promote. That's not good, right? Festivals have been canceled. Festivals have been postponed throughout the summer. We're still waiting on word later in the summer. However, all the venues and all the staff at the venues are furloughed. So nobody is working. Everybody is reliant upon people coming out to the venues to spend money and buy drinks and see live performances. So when that doesn't happen, not only do the musicians take a hit, so do the staff and so do all the venue workers and owners. So we've got a list up on chicagojazz.com. And on chicagojazz.com, you can go on there. There's a list, some of our favorites through Chicago Jazz Magazine, like the Green Mill has a GoFundMe, Martyrs has a GoFundMe, Jazz Showcase has a GoFundMe. Winters is closed down right now, so I'm sure they have some staff relief happening. There's also a whole host of other venues that we're going to start listing. And so if you have one that we need to be aware of, leave us a comment, hit us up. We love the comments, and we'll try to add that to our running list on chicagojazz.com. But if you can spare $5, $10, $15, $20, $4,000, everybody's going to dig that, and you can go right to that page and start applying that money, because that's going right to the staff at all these venues, which is really important. All right, now let's see if I can do this without screwing everything up. I've already screwed it up a couple of times this morning, but that's all right. Anne and Mark bared with me, so we're going to bring them in, and we've got it. Is that Anne and Mark? You can hear me all right? Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, Anne Burnell, Mark Burnell, they are here. You guys did a great live stream last week, live concert right there in your living room. Sounded great. So maybe you guys will be doing another one. Maybe we can plug that as well while you're on here. But in the meantime, how are you guys doing?
Oh, okay.
All right. Are we having fun yet? So, Mark, let's talk about Mark specifically, because, you know, you've been doing a lot of hits at like the Tortoise Club and at Drew's on Halstead and things like that. This has to be one of those times. And I know Anne's super busy, and she's also, you know, we're going to get all into the cabaret professionals because that was a whole ordeal. But Mark, specifically for you, I mean, you're used to doing a lot of performing one night here, one night there, some regular steadies throughout the week. I mean, have you heard from any of the clubs? Have you heard from any of the staff? Is everybody all right? Are they just on hiatus? I mean, what's kind of the word on the street? Well, that's the only way you can look at it now, right? I mean, it's a good woodshedding. It's a forced woodshedding session here. Well, and now, Anne, you and I mean, we've been talking because obviously we've got a great connection with the Epiphany Center for the Arts that we were going to open up in April, and then it got pushed to May. Can't hear our guests. All right, wait a minute. Sorry. There we go. How's that, Jesse? I'm glad you chimed in. Hey, Anne, say something.
Hi, Jesse. Can you hear me?
I think everything's fine again now. There we go. So, okay. Now, Anne, you specifically were planning this huge whole cabaret professionals. It's the cabaret week, right? I mean, you had like 47 shows. Well, I'll let you tell everybody about it, but you had to cancel all this stuff, and it was really at the last minute because it just happened immediately.
Yeah. So the week before, we were supposed to open I think it was 46 shows in one week. The city, you know, I knew that it was gonna kind of crash and burn with this coronavirus, and nobody they were saying, you know, groups underneath 100 people, then groups underneath 50 people, and then groups underneath 10 people shouldn't get together. So we had to cancel. It was in 18 different venues across the city. And but it was planned with a couple of not-for-profits, Acts of Kindness Cabaret and Working in Concert, and then as well as Chicago Cabaret Professionals and the Cabaret Project. And we worked on it for 15 months with the city of Chicago and Choose Chicago. And it's okay. I think that everyone knows about it. The groundwork has been laid, and we'll be able to do it again next year.
Well, this isn't the first time you guys ever did this, obviously. This has been an ongoing thing, but this is the first time that you guys were actually able to partner with the city and Choose Chicago, right, to do a big marketing campaign outside of the country as well, right?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of came together magically, and then, you know, even Chicago Jazz Magazine, thank you for partnering with us right from the beginning. So,
of course.
Epiphany, you know, hopefully Epiphany can be a big part of it next year.
Well, I mean, we're looking forward to that, obviously, but let's talk a little bit about that, the canceling of it, because, you know, I remember how much work you did. You and I had been on the phone a bunch talking about, we were setting up a cabaret, part of our series at the Epiphany Center for the Arts is going to be, I mean, it's not that that's canceled, but it's not happening right now. It's going to be Voices of Chicago on Wednesday nights, and the cabaret professionals were going to be there. And they were going to host a night once a month. We were going to be able to feature specific cabaret professionals and actually do some interviews with them and really kind of do something conceptually a little different than you've seen in the music world in Chicago and also in the cabaret world in Chicago. And, of course, that went on hold. But for us, we can push it a month. For you, sounds like, and I'm pretty positive, you had about 2 weeks to have to start slimming things down, and then all of a sudden you just had to cancel everything because it was just like it wasn't happening and the clubs weren't going to be open. But you calling the musicians, how did they take that? They had to understand, but it had to be devastating because they work on these pieces for a long period of time to put this together, right?
Yeah, it's the cabaret show is a very rehearsed thing, usually like with the music director, with the researching, with the maybe some comedy, maybe some original material. So all that has to be like ready to go. And then promotions and stuff like that. We really need to take a toll of the financial losses throughout the week, and maybe we can and gather that information, I think, from the clubs. I know Dave Agemolo from Green Mill, you know, he was holding out there, staying open till the last minute. And then finally, even he, you know, had to close. So, and he said, you know, we'll organize it and book it again. So,
yeah, well, I mean, Dave's one of those guys that you know, he's one of the best owners on the scene, I suppose you could say.
Amen. Right?
I mean, you know. So, I mean, with that, I didn't realize it because, you know, as a musician, I'm playing behind things. I've played with different cabaret musicians, and, you know, the pianist always rehearses usually with the vocalist and stuff. And then if I come in and do something, maybe I'm there for, you know, an hour rehearsal before the show happens, and then we're swinging and doing whatever we're doing. But I didn't realize it until you and I, and then I came over to Davenport's last winter and saw one of your Chicago Cabaret Professionals evenings over there. And man, there's a lot of rehearsal that goes into these things. They actually put these things together very specifically. There's a very hardcore concept behind it. So for the musicians that spent, I have to imagine they had to spend months organizing and creating and what they want to do and everything. Are they going to have a chance down the road to potentially do something with this? I mean, is this something that they can recycle maybe in the fall at a club? Or have you guys even talked about potentially even doing something in the fall, just kind of as a small little makeup thing? Or you're not even at that point yet, probably?
Oh, no. So Choose Chicago has the website up, and it's called ChicagoCabaretWeek.org. And any show that is from the 46 shows that is rescheduled will be you know, posted there. So there are some that are rescheduled already. So some people are doing like the late summer, some people are doing the fall. So there are a few shows that are getting, you know, they're going to have a life this year as well. Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, good. So that's coming back. And I know you and I had talked a little bit about utilizing that Wednesday night potentially in the fall at Epiphany and maybe doing something to be able to showcase some of the people that were not able to perform at this. But you also, for that, you also bring people in, don't you, from around the country to perform for that?
Yeah, we bring people in. The Working in Concert not-for-profit has a French connection. They call it the Cabaret Connection. And they bring in all these people from France, all over Paris and everything. And of course that is on hold right now, but I expect it'll be clear in the next year. And so that would be connected to this as well. So bringing in performers and teachers and doing workshops and all that kind of thing. You know, Mike, you and I, another aspect of this was that you and I went to all the meetings at DCase and the City of Chicago, and it was really blossoming when all these club owners and all these music promoters and musicians and everything were all in one room with all the different kinds of music, all the different genres together. And I really feel like that, I don't know if that's really going to be on hold for now, the year of Chicago music.
Well, you know, that was where I was going next because, you know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Good segue. Good segue. So that's where I was heading next, too, is because the year Chicago Music, you and I are on steering committees together. Then you're also on a couple of other steering committees for this. And you've been meeting since, like, I think October. I think I got involved in November and we started working together, and we were in some of the different meetings. And of course, they did the kickoff for the year of Chicago Music about a month and a half ago at this point. And then 2 weeks before this whole thing went down, we actually had a DCase event at the Epiphany Center for the Arts as a kickoff for some of the media people. And the commissioner was there, Commissioner Mark Kelly, who spearheaded the whole year of Chicago Music. He's got to be just, like, you know, dumbfounded and devastated on this whole thing. So I'm sure they're rethinking a lot of stuff. But tons of momentum, and I was feeling really good because I thought that this was the first time, at least in my existence here on the Chicago music scene in like over 20 years, that all the club owners, no matter what genre, and all the musicians, no matter what genre, were actually talking together and working together for a common goal. And I know you feel the same way. And now it's like, just like, and it wasn't even like, you know, it wasn't like it petered out. It just like stopped. And it of no fault of anybody. At least if somebody screwed up, we'd have somebody to blame. But you can't blame anybody but the coronavirus, which just shut the whole city down. So what are your thoughts? I mean, I thought there was a lot of great momentum building up. I thought there was a lot of good stuff about to happen. The 18-day festival is now postponed. I mean, there's the whole litany of things that's going on here. So I tend to think that, you know, the year Chicago Music is going to be an initiative into 2021.
I hope. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to plan for the resurrection of this, but I feel like it was such a good vibe talking across the table. And I was, you know, even there in the summer when we were just thinking about what this type of thing would mean to you and how do you identify Chicago music? How do you, what kind of things, how would you describe Chicago music? What makes it unique? What makes it, you know, what it is, you know, kind of gritty and kind of spontaneous. And so everyone was able to put their creative input in there. And I felt like it was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen in my musical career that everybody would be together in one room talking about that.
Yeah. Well, and I love the initiative and, you know, like what Mark Kelly said, it's a 5-year plan really when you sit down, because the whole plan behind this, for those of you that are watching this, that aren't aware of the grand scheme of the whole thing. Maybe you saw something here or there for the Year of Chicago Music, but Year of Chicago Music was basically to bring the entire Chicago music scene together and brand it and market it out to the entire world as, right, this is the place to be. You know, you've got LA, you've got Austin, you've got New York, you've got Memphis and Nashville and everywhere else. They've all got a branding component behind their entire music scene. Chicago's never had that. You know, we've got the blues faction, we've got the jazz faction, we've got the cabaret faction, we've got the, you know, singer songwriter, rock and roll stuff, the Latin stuff. Everything was coming together on this one thing, but I think that initiative is going to continue on. It's just going to really be it's going to have to have even more of a push now in order to get everybody back to the table, because there's a lot of venues that are just getting killed right now as well.
Right.
And, true. You know, who knows how, you know, they're going to be more focused on getting ramped back up and opening back up rather than let's present live music, I would imagine, you know?
Yeah.
And you guys can speak to that too, because I mean, you guys have things popping up all over the city and dealing with a lot of different venues. I mean, I got to imagine this is going to be a long process to restart this music scene.
Well, Mike, I wanted to mention one particular venue. I wanted to give a shout out to Le Piano in Rogers Park, which I was playing. They actually changed and switched over and they're making masks now. They made 1200 masks for medical people in Rogers Park, and I just think that's a great use of creativity, and I just, you know, hope that Chad Willits can continue to make great music at his club.
Yeah, Chad's a great guy. He's got a great vision for that place. It's a great space, and the fact that he flipped over and now he's making masks there, I mean, how incredible is that?
I know. How did he do that?
So let's
I think that, you know, you're working on that legacy committee for the Year of Chicago Music. And I think that's really important because we don't know our own history. And I hope that this whole thing can, you know, just like the 5-year plan, they'll still go ahead with it, you know, and then we can educate our own Chicagoans about Chicago music.
Well, and actually I didn't even think of it this way, but this show, in 25 years, people will be looking back at this show going, oh my God, everybody was like sequestered and stuck in their homes and everything. This is unbelievable. Look at all these people. This is when they all learned how to use Skype. Isn't that weird? They'll probably be doing like, you know, like they'll be beaming each other into their own homes at that point. But they'll be like, wow, look at
this. Right. Well, I would give a challenge out to the audio engineers and the computer geniuses, because a situation like what we're doing right now is a piece of cake with a audio delay, because information is only traveling in one direction at a time. But when I try to rehearse with my singers over the phone, it's that half second delay that makes it almost nearly impossible to do anything with tempo. The only thing right now I can rehearse with my singers is ballads with relaxed tempos, and it's still a challenge. So if somebody could figure out a hack about this delay, at least we musicians could practice over the phone. and work out on our craft.
That's right.
All engineers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calling all engineers. Well, and you know what will happen is then I'll have an engineer around. They'll be like, there's absolutely a fix for this here. And then they'll go into a 45 minute technical discussion and I'll fall asleep and then nobody will know what they're talking about. And they'll be like, cool. So it needs to be simple. It needs to be a simple fix as well.
Well, there's tons of live streaming concerts. So people are, you know, trying to do stuff from their homes.
We're Jeannie happy. Tanner, yeah. We're happy doing ours and we've committed to do it every Thursday. So it's going to be a weekly event.
All right. So let's make sure everybody knows about where to watch that. What Facebook page is it going to be on? And also what time? Do you guys have a specific starting time? Because you guys did about an hour or so last week. It sounded great.
Thank you.
We're shooting for 45 minutes, but it's 7 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah. And it's on Burnell Music on Facebook. Or last week we couldn't really, you know, get it going, so we threw it up on Mark's page, but but Burnell Music on Facebook should have it this week.
Okay, all right. do you guys have that system set up so you can do tipping too?
Oh yeah, there's yes. A little link for
there's a virtual PayPal, tip yeah. jar.
I've seen more and more of those, and I've heard that people are getting used to tipping like that, and it's actually really helping some musicians. So, I mean, for everybody that's checking this video out, we're going to keep promoting all the live performances that are happening on Facebook and streaming and everything. And that tip jar thing, it's super safe. Everything's secure. And, you know, that's great. I think it's a great way. Also, I was talking to Roy McGrath and Sean Maxwell yesterday, and I was mentioning, I said, you know, the silver lining in this whole thing, number one, I figured out I can do a show like this, which means now I can do a show and I can interview more people from all over the world and keep it smooth, because I would have never had time to put this setup together with what my schedule has been leading up to this. So that's a silver lining. But the other silver lining is I think it's also going to open up people like yourself to a brand new audience who might not know you, but then they might find you coming along in the stream and stop and listen, say, whoa, who are these people, and get to know you. So I mean, because otherwise you guys wouldn't be doing a live concert every Thursday at 7 o'clock, I'd imagine, right?
We would be really uncomfortable holding a phone up and, you know, exposing ourselves like that, but we have to. But you know what happened? I looked yesterday and there was, so normally a cabaret audience or a jazz audience is like 50 people, maybe 70, and 1,200 people are watching our show.
Somebody found us.
That's a little bit bigger audience than we normally get.
Isn't that? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I think the silver lining of this is going to be that I think people are going to actually find more music, find more musicians, become more aware. Hopefully that will make them go out and see you if they are in that town where you're at. But I think it's also going to start a trend where I think people are going to do live concerts on a regular basis on Facebook, in addition to at the different venues, because they're going to realize that they can really reach a larger audience and build their fan base and they'll take the time to do it. And you know, that's been one of the things that I've always wanted to push out there, because with the videos I've done, I mean, you know, I could have stopped after one and said, well, whatever, I had, you know, 40 views or whatever. But I mean, I kept doing it and that built the audience. So I think everybody's going to find that this is going to be the one silver lining. The unsilver lining is that there's no money coming in. So that's the unsilver lining. But,
well, you know, your videos, like the Talking Jazz, you've had a huge response with that. Like now you have like however many thousands of followers. But that's just because you kept putting yourself out there with those interviews and people. You helped everybody in Chicago.
Well, I appreciate it. And that's why I started the Chicago Music Reveal, because why should just the jazz community get to sit at a hot dog stand with Mike Jeffers? Everybody. Bring out the heavy metal dudes, man. All right. So Thursday, 7 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
On Burnell Music, and we'll link it up when we get closer. We'll push that out on our Facebook page, on Chicago Jazz Magazine's Facebook page, and also we're going to get all the other platforms up and ramping up this week too, so we'll push it out because we're going to have a whole list of live performances on a weekly basis. And Ann, you and I will keep talking about this Chicago Cabaret Professionals and figure that whole thing out, and know when we can actually kickstart the thing at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, because that's going to be fun on a Wednesday once a month as well.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll let you guys get back to your coffee, and hopefully I will not screw up the the shutdown of the stream so that I don't go away. But I really appreciate you guys joining me, and thanks for being on the Chicago Music Revealed show, and thanks for bearing with me on my technical difficulties before we came live.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for
Tell
everything
Frank
you do.
Hello too.
I will. All right, see you guys.
All right, bye.
All right, Ann and Mark Brunell. Awesome. Very cool. So let me see if I can do this, guys, while I'm talking, and we're gonna bring on. I've got to figure out how to do that. Okay. Now, part of the fun of this show is that I'm doing all of this by myself. We're streaming stuff. If anybody's got comments, questions, I know. Yeah, you don't have to tell me about the technical problems, because I'm well aware of that. If I had somebody else here, but you know, I've got my thing over here. And I'm going to see if I can bring in Frank Russell now. So this is going to be a live technical experience. So we're going to see how that's going. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Everybody's chilling out. Everybody is staying safe. There is a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. And it seems like we're getting closer to the apex, but we're still about 10 days away. I went out this morning to pick up some coffee and check some things, you know, just kind of drive around the neighborhood, pick up some coffee and pick up a couple other things, because there isn't anybody out at the stores at this point of the day. And actually, the streets are like dead here in Bridgeport. So that's good news, I think. I think people are staying away, staying home. And, you know, let's get this over with faster by just staying away and staying home. And as Mayor Lightfoot says, stay home, stay lives. Save lives. Stay home, save lives. I knew I was going to say that correctly. All right, let me see if I can bring Frank Russell into the conversation. And we're going to see if I can do this live on the live stream here. So we'll see what happens. I'm calling Frank right now. Hopefully he picks up. We'll see if he's there. Hey, Frank, are you there? Let me see where I'm at. Hang on a second. Hold on a second here. Stand by. I can hear you. Let me see.
All right, there you go.
Ah, there you are. Can you see me?
Hey. Yeah. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Good. Good.
Hey,
I saw the interview with my friends.
Yeah, Ann and Mark.
Yeah, yeah. I did a New Year's Eve show with them about 3 years ago with us and Henry Johnson. No drummer. We could have used you, but it was fine.
Well, it would have been a lot better, obviously. Hey, so how are you, man? I know you've been doing. I watched the different concerts. You know, you're doing some different live performances out of your house as usual. Obviously, you just finished up a long run. I mean, how incredible was that to be able to do something at Steppenwolf with your longtime friends and collaborators, Ladysmith Black Mambazo? You guys were on years ago. You guys performed together back in the day. Did a play as well, and now you guys full circle back, and you did that, and it ended what, just at the end of November, I think, at the beginning of December?
The end of November, and it was remarkable, man. It was remarkable. A 23-year gap between the last time I played with them. And I got an email from Steppenwolf. I thought it was a joke. Would you like to join the cast for Lindy Way with Ladysmith Black Mambazo? And I'm like, wow, this is could this be real? And it was real. And just one of the great experiences of my life again, man. We did Noma Timba, like I said, 25 years ago. Then Lindy Way was even closer to my heart because it dealt with Chicago blues and South African.
Mm-hmm.
So and this time I got to be the band leader.
Well, you know what I thought was, you know what I thought was interesting is because you and I can remember this. You and I, we did that interview where you were the
right,
you know, the feature. I think that was about a year before this whole thing happened. And then you and I had talked. I think maybe we did something for a performance you had coming up. We did a preview interview, and you had mentioned Ladysmith, and you mentioned, man, it would be incredible if I got back and got to play with him. And literally, I think it was like a month later, you texted me and said, I can't believe this. Something very cool is happening. I can't announce it yet. And then sure enough, it was the thing at Steppenwolf, and it was the Lindy Way thing. It's
just like I saw them on PBS with my auntie, in 1987 with Paul Simon doing the Graceland tour.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what incredible music. My aunt was crying because the music reminded her of the being on the down south in the churches. And I was thinking, wow, how great would it be to play with them? And literally 10 years later, I was playing with them.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is, man. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And those guys, the last gig I did was with them. I played at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and they asked me I asked, could I come in and do a tribute to Joseph Shabalala, who had just passed. Mm-hmm. And remember, I put up a thing on Facebook playing Amazing Grace to him.
Yep.
And Ladysmith saw it, and they loved it, and they spread it around and stuff. And so I asked them, would it be cool to come in and do it at Old Town? To pay my tributes to one of the greatest legends. It's weird, Mike. I remember when Miles died,
mm-hmm.
or Jaco Pastorius, and I felt like I knew them, and I was so broken up about it, and I didn't know them.
Right.
So now I knew a real legend that I was close to, and he passed away. So it was the first time it was. So they actually added me on I don't know. Did you see the video they did?
I saw it. They used your Amazing Grace. And by the way, we'll tag Frank on this when it goes. Once we finish up, we'll tag Frank. So you head over to his page because he's got it up on his page. But he played Amazing Grace. But then they used it in the state funeral for Joseph in South Africa, right?
With Paul Simon.
Right.
Angelique Kidjo. The president of South Africa, dignitaries, premiers, all from all over the world. And it was just, it was such a circle, full circle, man, that I would see those guys on TV 25 years ago, work with them over 400 shows maybe. And then I end up closing the memorial tape for Joseph Shabalala. I was the last thing on there. And then they showed him.
Yeah,
and passed away in 2020. So it's been an emotional roller coaster. Then the pandemic hit, and I'm so grateful to even have done that play, so I could save some money. I was saving money for the next project, but now that money's going into the household.
Little did you know, the next project was a pandemic. Man, no, I know
that was not my project.
No, yeah. Well, and you and I had talked because you talk about a couple of things. So first off, we were going to have you open up over at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. You were going to be the first night, open it up with your quartet up in the sanctuary where we're going to do live music on a daily basis eventually. That was going to kick off at the beginning of April. And then because of all this stuff, we kind of had to push it a little bit. And then all of a sudden everything hit. So now everything's on hold, but we're hoping to...
Right.
See what happens here, and hopefully we can turn the corner so that by June we're happening again at the Epiphany Center. But you also, when we were talking, and you've toured, talk about like full circle stuff as well. When you came over and you toured the Epiphany Center for the Arts for the first time, you walked into the big room, the Church of the Epiphany, and you looked, and I said, "Well, wait a minute, don't you play with Primo? Who's that?" And his father was the first African American bishop, and there's a stained glass there on the wall in the thing.
That's his church.
It's unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, and Quentin is like, he's been another blessing, man. I he's one of the real estate legends. I forget the Capri Capital.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of the wealthiest African Americans in the world. And I did a project with him. The doctor that I played with, he said his piano player is looking to play with a bass player so he can go to L.A. and do a benefit concert with Debbie Allen and Chandra Rhimes. So I went to his house. First of all, I pulled up to the house and look, I thought I was at the White House. And we're doing a little rehearsal. He's got a Steinway piano in the den, and he could play.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're playing and stuff. I'm getting him ready for L.A. And I said, "Hey, man!" Before I left, I said, "You need to have me on that gig. You take your chance." He had already had a bass player.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, a couple of guys from L.A. He was going to use all L.A. guys. He said, you got a job. And so that was a beautiful, beautiful event. And yeah, his dad's name was on that glass. And I took a picture of it, if you remember.
Yep.
And I sent it to him. And he said, Frank, I've been trying to, his father passed away years ago. I've been trying to reach my dad for years. And I reached him through you.
Wow. Look at that.
So, and then I told your guy that owns the Epiphany. I said, I told him about it. He said, that's an Epiphany.
That's right. Yeah. David Chase, the founder David and Chase. Developer over there. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. And I'm just, it's just, I've been so full to be able to do that for him and be able to play these Facebook Live things. And South Africa has gotten in touch with me and told me how they appreciate what I'm doing and combining the Chicago music and South African. So, and I'm just so excited what you're doing, man. You've been a great person to help us out even before this pandemic. And you've been, I like to say, touched by God, man. I just appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thanks, man. You know, I've known you for a long time. Obviously, we played together back out on Navy Pier, our first time playing together. Jeez, but you know the thing that I always love is that you're a lot like me, where it's like, you know, you've got to keep pushing forward no matter what's going on. So I mean, with everything that's going on right now, you know, it's just like you've got to stay positive. You got to keep pushing forward because, as I always say, you know, where are you going to be in the next 30 days? Because the 30 days is going to come whether you're ready for it or not. And I know that you were talking about doing a new project. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit on hold. I think everything's on hold right now.
Everybody's on hold, man.
To be able to plan out. But, I mean, this has to be a good time, at least to look at a silver lining, as I was talking to Mark and Ann a second ago, is that this has to be a good time for you to kind of take time and write. And some of this stuff that's happening now in the world might actually reflect back into your music on your next project.
It's true. Some of my best tunes that I've recorded have been about family members that have either touched me, that have passed away, that I love so much, like my granddaughter. I wrote a tune. I got a great granddaughter. I was supposed to go visit a couple of weeks ago, and you know, all the airlines, you can't really fly anymore. So I haven't met her yet. And so, yeah, I'm using this time to write these tunes. I pretty much got the whole album written. I'm going to be getting with Bobby Irving and Vijay Telus Nayak and Greg Spiro, who are helping me maneuver some of these I'm coming up with some really beautiful stuff, and I think maybe some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever done. And it's a tribute to Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Oh, okay.
So like the last album, you know, I did a tribute to bass players that I love, electric bassists. So this would be a tribute to them. And I told them about it, and they told me, Frank, this is a good idea. We think it's, and they trust me with the music. So I took a chance. I said, well, how about these guys singing on it? Well, it'll probably be like asking the Beatles to sing or something.
Yeah, they have to.
Or the Jackson 5.
Have to sell your house.
I took another shot. And they called me up and told me, Frank, we want to sing on your project. You are our brother.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I got all this to look forward to. I mean, there's so much despair in the world. We're trying to stay safe and positive. But the Lord is still using me to bring about joy, even in my den.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing that you can do, man. You know, I mean, and that whole connection with Ladysmith, that experience that you had. I mean, I saw the play musical, I suppose you'd call it. And you were on stage the whole time. You're like part of the entire show. And they think of you as family, which is incredible. The thing that I find incredible is that they do that run for a long time, and then they go right back out on tour.
And they took 2 weeks off.
Yeah, they're like doing tons of dates still. It's
They've been touring since Graceland came out.
It's like unbelievable.
I think they've been home a couple of months in 25 years.
Isn't that unbelievable?
They do like 200 dates a year.
Man.
And Joseph did it. He's one of the most incredible human beings. I mean, you know, the dancing, doing stuff. He was doing that all the way up to 70.
No kidding.
He could still kick higher than me. Both legs. I actually, during the play, I lost 20 pounds just trying to hang with those guys. Remember, I'm trying not to grow this, gain the weight back. I don't know if it's working.
Well, yeah.
You're eating out of depression. But me and my wife, we work out to videotapes and workouts and stuff. But I'm trying to get my 10,000 steps in on my back porch.
Yeah, well, you can't walk on the lakefront like you normally do. I used to see.
No, they shut that down. We were doing that. And they start playing basketball games and badgammon and stuff, and so it's shut down. So
yeah,
you just do what you can do, man.
That's it. You got to hang in there. So you got a practice regimen going on. You doing any online teaching, or you just kind of practicing
home
and stuff?
No, I probably should, and I probably could, but I'm working on these tunes, man.
Yeah,
it's like a job. I want to do the best project I can. For Ladysmith.
Mm-hmm.
I respect them and love them so much. And I want to, I mean, I told you the story with one of the guys, Albert Mesabuku. He was to take my CD to South Africa because his son is a fan of mine.
Okay.
So I gave him the CD. He played the CD. He came to me. He said, "Frank, I listened to your CD. It was so beautiful. A couple of times tears rolled down." And I was like, "Oh my God." And so his fiance came in from South Africa, and he actually told me he proposed to her with my music in the background. Oh. I said, "Wait a minute. You're not playing Homeless or Diamonds of the Soul. You're playing my music?"
Yeah, right.
"Yes, Frank, I played your
music." Yeah, right.
So I said, "So now I gotta propose to my wife all over again 33 years later. And put on Homeless or something."
Yeah, I was going to say she doesn't want to hear your music. She's heard enough of your music.
But how is that something?
That's
and all
awesome.
The guys love my music, man. And I've done dedications to them. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of my records, I did a tune for them. And so I dedicated a song on my past three albums. Now I'm dedicating the whole record. So it's just, you know, something to look forward to after this is over, which I believe will be one day.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I went out this morning just to grab some coffee, and really, this is the most desolate I've seen the streets. It looked like you would see the streets like on Christmas morning, right? There's nobody out,
yeah.
Which is good. We don't want anybody out, because the longer people stay home, the faster this is going to cook through,
yeah.
And hopefully we start to get to the other side. So
right. When we're staying home, we're just going out for groceries once every 2 weeks, and then I read, I told my wife, "Oh, maybe only one of you should go in so the other one, you know, can survive," or not even that, but so you don't have so many people in the store.
Right.
So I told her, you know, I'm at the age where, you know, she's a little younger than me. So I think we're going to send you in. But no, we're going to take turns.
Well,
she shops better than
I. Like the new normal, right?
Oh yeah, that's it, man.
It's the new normal, man. You know, I don't go out of the house without.
I heard you take your dog out. And
I got the dog out. I got two of these in my hands the whole time. I'm not touching anything, man. It's like, it's unbelievable. It's like, forget it. The my cologne now is lemon fresh.
Lemon
Clorox.
Fresh. Oh, that's probably nice.
Yeah, I smell like spring all the time. All right, man, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you jumping on, Frank, and we'll be in touch, obviously, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you on Instagram. And what's your website? Where can everybody go to check you out?
FrankERussell.com. The E is for Earl, my middle name. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And once again, thanks so much, Mike. You've been a yeoman for doing this, and we've always just had a wonderful time. I hope to do Deer Park again.
I
hope that's going to be happening.
I was going to bring it up. Hopefully we can get to the point where we can have a festival, and then we can actually plan it. That would be nice.
Yeah. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and I'm very prayerful. And I just want to tell all my musician friends to hang in there. I love you. We're a community. We have to get the message out. We heal with our music, and let's just keep doing it any way we can. God bless you all.
That's right. Great way to say it. All right, Frank. Thanks, man. I'll talk
to
you soon.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Let's see if I can do that. And then I got to come back over here. All right. So Frank Russell, what a great guy. Just, you know, sweetheart of a dude. And, you know, again, what he said really makes a lot of sense. We're going to get out of this. We're going to come out of this thing. And, you know, we're going to be better off because we're all going to know, hopefully, how to stop this from ever happening again. Hopefully, this is the last time we have to do this and everything will be way more prepared. So, all right. Well, I appreciate everyone watching this and I love the comments. I'm seeing some good comments. I've got a thought. If anybody is interested in calling in tomorrow, I wouldn't mind doing some phone calls too, so we can do some phone calls. But hit me up, DM me, let me know. We're going to have a couple of more musicians on tomorrow, hopefully on Skype. And it's getting smoother. I'm understanding how to do things. I'm able to drop in little name things now. Very good. And I'm going to put a little music going here on my way out. And again, thanks for watching. Thanks for checking everything out. You can get all the information at chicagojazz.com and those relief funds that we have for musicians. So please check that out. And if you can give, please give. We've got the new issue of Chicago Jazz Magazine that's going to come up. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I think we're going to hold off on our feature interview for this month and potentially just drop information about what's happening until we turn this curve. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And until next time, hopefully I will see you. Everybody stay safe. Everybody stay healthy. And hopefully I will see you somewhere out on the scene very soon.